Chapter 7. She woke up and instantly forgot her dream. But her heart still beat at ramming speed, and the terror was still upon her. She shivered in her own sweat. The echo of her cry was still dying in the small, stone-walled cell. Rosanna sat up, the last blanket falling away from her. She had been writhing in her sleep, and almost all the bedclothes had been thrown off her cot. Outside the slit window of her cell, where the moon's should have been, was a wedge of grey. A night candle burned on her writing desk, casting a small pool of light upon the piles of books jumbled there. She always needed a flame in the dark. It was her last connection with childhood. She hugged herself until the trembling subsided. Sometimes she was gripped with raptures in the night, but mostly her dreams were terrible. It was a part of the gift to which she could never become used. As always, when the horror was squirted directly into her mind, she wished she had been born fat, stupid, and normal, like her sisters. She would have married a hunter or a woodcutter and dropped 5 children by now. The only thing to disturb her nights would have been her husband's snoring. She disentangled herself from the last of the blankets and walked across the tiny cell. The flagstones were shockingly cold under her bare feet, to the stand where there was a basin of fresh water. Although not a cleric or a novice, she was still under the strict regime of the temple. There was no mirror for her vanity. Just now she was grateful for the absence. She did not think she could look into her own face without remembering too much. She slipped her hands into the cold water and was fully awake. Her heart rate had slowed to normal. She splashed water on her face and rubbed away the sweat and sleep. Parts of her dream came back to her. She pressed her fists against her eyes, trying to keep the dream away. She was running through the fog, and there was someone, something, coming after her. She could hear its rasping breath, and fancied the clatter of its claws on cobbles. The smell of dead fish was all around her. She was running on wooden boards now, desperate to get to the end of a quay. A ladder stood out in the fog. If she reached it, she might be safe. She knelt, letting the dream that was not a dream come back. She climbed down quickly, her long skirts caught and tore on some neglected nail. Looking up, she could see the silhouette on the lip of the jetty, its eyes shining. Green velvet, sharp teeth, claws. It was unmistakably the beast. Her face still stung from the rake marks. She was afraid, but not just for herself. Rosanna was confused. As so often in her intuitive visions, identities were scrambled. She could not make out any names. The girl she was dreaming she was worked in a hostel called the Wayfarer's Rest and had brothers called Joachim and Gustav. But her own name did not swim in her head with these other scraps. The thing that followed her had the faces of many men she had known, but Rosanna could not sort out which was the real aspect of the beast and which the confused overlay of memories. There was a name uppermost in the girl's mind as she ran. Wolf. Wolf was the girl's lover. But the face that went with the name was mixed up with the dark blur of the beast. The scryer tried to separate the two and could not. There was an idealized wolf, but she guessed he existed only in the girl's imagination. This noble, handsome, kindly face resembled that of the Baron Johann von Mecklenburg. That was another layer, prompting her to wonder just what the Elector's interest in these crimes was. In the girl's mind, Wolf's face was constantly changing. The beast caught her, and her body was opened. Rosanna fought the dream. Despite her duty to learn, she kicked against the vision. She did not want to know any more, but the momentum was too great. She was forced to dream through until the end, until the complete darkness descended. After an eternity of pain, she died. The dream shut off, and Rosanna was herself again, the other girl gone from her mind as if she had never been there. Rosanna did not believe in any of the gods, not even Sigmar. No gods could allow such things. The dead girl had known her attacker, and yet not been sure of his identity. Like the others, she had died in a state of panic and confusion. The rustle of velvet was as strong with this girl as it had been with Marguerite Ruttmann. Green velvet. Reliving the dream had made her void her bladder. She took off her wet nightdress and washed herself thoroughly, as if trying to wipe away any trace of her contact with the dead girl. It was quiet outside. Beyond the fog, the sun would be rising soon. The work of the day would begin. Rosanna returned to her cot and pulled the blankets over herself. She curled up small and wrapped the bedclothes tight around her, like a prickly cocoon. What she had dreamed had happened, and it had happened tonight, probably at exactly the moment she first dreamed it. This murder was distinct from the seven others. Somewhere out there, undiscovered, was an eighth corpse.